नमस्ते। So, welcome back after breakfast. Hope you're all refreshed. No snoozing at the back. And welcome online. And I wanted to discuss illusion, you know, the thing that we all are desperately trying to get away from. You know, it's a common human experience, isn't it, that we delude ourselves with our thoughts, our experiences, and our, as we were saying last night, our attempt to escape that illusion. And it's pretty much the last place that I wanted to go in my own journey, was to examine the illusion and see what it actually was and how I was sustaining it, how I was enhancing it. And I was pretty much just concerned with getting away from it, you know, as I'm sure we all are. But something happened when I really began to, something changed, it's probably a better word, when I began to want to see why, how and why there was illusion in the first place. And what can we do about that? You know, we're just duty bound to suffer. Can we do something to free ourselves of it? Are there any habits we can develop that really are going to bring us out of this illusion fast or even immediately? You know, I was always desperately impatient, frustrated, and mostly just desperate. A lot of desperation, I remember. So I began to become curious about the thing that nobody seems to want to be curious about, which is why we suffer. And it makes sense, really, if you sort of think about it, to kind of ponder for a moment why we suffer. What is it that's causing that? Because the more we understand that, the more we're going to be immune to it, the more we feel we're caught in something we have no control over, the more disempowered we're going to feel. And isn't that the very epitome of suffering, is feeling trapped in something that you don't feel you can get out of? Or trapped by something, such as our mind, that we feel we have no control over. So what is illusion then? What is reality? And how do we switch from one to the other? Is there a switch that we can flip in our beingness? Perhaps the simplest way I've ever really understood it myself is illusion is when we believe our thoughts. And reality is when we're not believing any thoughts. And it sounds utterly simple like that, doesn't it? But in practice, it can be a little bit more interesting, shall we say. So why do we then believe our thoughts? What is sustaining that? If we've had a seeing, or if we're coming to see that we're not really a someone, a separate being moving through time and space, that we're not actually going anywhere, that we are that vast infinite being in which time and space appears. All these bodies are coming and going, all these forms are moving and changing. Why do we then go back to this seductive illusion? Especially when it's not pleasant or downright horrible, you know, when it's just awful, why do we go back? What is it that pulls us in that moment to really listen to our mind? Because if we can get to the bottom of that, then we're really going to experience a shift, aren't we? Something, why am I listening to my mind? Why does it seem to have this power over me? And what can I do about that? What can I see about that and understand? And a great maturity comes in our journey and our beingness when we're willing to examine these things rather than just sort of running away. Running away works too, but you're going to get dragged back, right? You know, understanding why we're believing thoughts was really, for me, pivotal. Why am I doing that, actually? When I really began to look at why is this happening? Not from my mind's perspective, you know, that had been like my mantra. Why is this happening? You know, why aren't I free yet? Why aren't I any good at this? Why aren't I getting there? Why am I going backwards even? You know, all of those things. But the self's why is this happening? What is this about actually? What's going on here? And something really shifted. And I began to see that I was believing my thoughts because I was watching my experience. My mind was talking about my experience. And I was agreeing with my mind because I was watching my experience instead of watching myself. Sounds like a simple thing in theory, but so if I, as we were saying last night, if I really feel that I'm not where I want to be, not as awakened as I want to be, then I'm going to really feel an involuntary agreement with my mind when it suggests this particular thought again next time. And therefore, I'll have that experience of not being where I want to be, feeling disturbed, feeling suffering, a sense of suffering, really feeling separate to awakening, separate to myself, capital S. So it really would benefit us all to spend some time here in this session, really understanding that mechanism, that when I believe my thoughts, when I agree with them, I experience those thoughts. And not just here, I experience them in a 360 real-time, ongoing, full-blown hallucination of what I think reality is. Everyone else on the planet agrees with me in that moment as to what I'm assuming to be true. And because I'm experiencing this three-dimensional holographic illusion, it seems to make sense to keep agreeing that I am not where I want to be, and then therefore experience it again. And my conviction in this idea grows and grows and grows. And whichever idea is being cultivated, that I'm not worthy already for awakening, for freedom. And my mind is too powerful to come out of identification with. Whatever idea or attitude or way of thinking about something I'm entertaining currently is going to be my experience. Why? Because I'm not really a separate being. I am the infinite self with infinite power to infinitely create these three-dimensional, holographic, real-time illusions. And maybe I've been doing that for so long that I don't even know I'm doing it. Maybe I think what I'm experiencing is reality. So when we begin to see that we're believing our thoughts because we're watching our experience, our mind is talking about our experience. In our agreement with our mind, we're creating the same experience in the next moment, sustaining illusion. So that cycle goes around for millennia, right? We've all been there, done that, got the t-shirt, definitely. So something can shift when we really begin to see that without judgment, that until I recognize that I am creating my own experience right now in this moment based on what I feel is true, what ideas I'm holding on to. And that the only reason I'm holding on to them is because I keep experiencing them. And I've been taught to reference my experience only as justification for what I agree with. So I have this experience over and over again of not being where I want to be or being who I want to be. And I feel so much more convinced inside I'm not there yet. And I compare myself to the awakened beings that I revere to validate and verify my conclusion. How long can we go around like that? Well, forever, actually. And what's the way out then, once we begin to understand, what's the way out of this hall of mirrors that we've kind of accidentally, unknowingly created around ourselves? Well, the shortcut really is to come to recognize that nothing, I think, is true at all. Nothing I think about myself or anyone else or anything else, or the self, or awakening, or God, or anything is true in the absolute sense. Every thought that happens in every human brain is happening in one brain only at one time, and therefore cannot really get an accurate depiction of how things are for the totality. It doesn't make thought wrong, you know. Thoughts like you're going to lock your keys in the car are really, really helpful, aren't they? But it's not really going to work here, is it, when we recognize that the infinite power that we are is taking the shape of the thoughts that we're giving agreement to. And the thoughts that we're giving agreement to are the ones that we keep experiencing. And what we keep experiencing is dictating what we're giving agreement to. And what we're giving agreement to, and on it goes, round and round. So if you can stop for a moment and just step back metaphorically and say, I don't know that any of this is true. Just because I keep experiencing something doesn't mean it's ever been true. And when I really started to understand that, it just changed everything, absolutely everything. Nothing I have ever experienced is ultimate reality, no matter how ugly or beautiful or mundane or exciting, sad, happy. That I can infinitely experience my thoughts rather than reality, because I am so immense already. I haven't perhaps understood that until this point because I thought it was a separate someone. And those thoughts seem true. How real are those thoughts going to seem when you experience them if you are infinitely powerful? They're going to seem infinitely real, infinitely true, that I can't get there, that I'm not good enough yet, that I'm stuck in my mind, or whatever we're currently subscribing to. And somewhere there's this little soothing green sign that says exit, you know, and that is, for me, it just said on that door, none of my thoughts are real, actually. That they work in the relative world, you know, when we interact with each other and all of that, but in terms of reality, not so much. What do you actually know to be true without referencing your experience? What can you tell me about yourself if you don't reference any experience you've ever had? Can you still be certain that there's any difference between you and me, where we're at spiritually, what we're experiencing? Recognizing that if you hold on to that idea, you will experience something different than me. Could it be that simple, the exit door? Whatever experience I'm currently having is showing me what I'm holding on to. And I've only held on to it because I didn't realize that with clarity. And because every seeming other being on the planet has to agree with me, has to, in my delusion about myself, that I am separate from everything and everyone. Every moment then becomes an opportunity to wipe the slate clean. This is why we're in silence. Silence is totally unassuming. It knows nothing about anything. It's utterly void of assumptions. It can take the shape of all of those, of course, all of our ideas, all of our versions of reality. Now is a good moment to just wipe the slate clean, refresh, hit the refresh button on the consciousness. And that's really what we're practicing in the silent sitting, just being here without any assumptions, seeing what happens, not getting involved in any of it, but just being here. In that silence and that space where we have no agenda, we'll begin to see really what we're agreeing with. And then we'll begin to see how we're experiencing that over and over. So does it really feel so uncomfortable to not be sure of anything? Does that really feel so constricted or scary now? Or is there something also, maybe a little scary, but, you know, something also deeply curious inside your heart as to what that is like to live from? You don't know anything about anyone or anything or yourself or God or anything at all. You have no roadmap, no compass. And you don't really want one, you know. When we set off to travel here, you know, we use the GPS, the sat nav. And of course, it gives us directions, very good directions how to get here. And we did take a few detours accidentally. But can you imagine if your sat nav just said you've already arrived? That's all it ever said to you. I want to go to Anamkara, you've already arrived. Okay. Yeah, but how do I get there? You've already arrived. No. And you set off to go in any direction. It's a turnaround where possible. No. And that's really my job, isn't it? Just to keep saying, turn around where possible. You've already arrived. And I kind of have to try to find really inventive ways to keep saying that until you listen to it. Just as I needed to hear again and again, you've already arrived. And occasionally it says, you never left, you know, just to mix it up a bit. The whole idea of a journey is that you are somewhere other than you want to be, isn't it? That it's a destination that's different from the starting point. What if that is utter nonsense? Even if we've experienced otherwise for millennia, doesn't mean it's ever been true. Actually, astoundingly, right now. So after this curiosity for me as to why I was stuck in illusion and what that was about, there was this really authentic embarrassment, right? Oh my goodness, I've made this whole long journey and life has been saying over and over again, you never left. You've already arrived. Embarrassment mixed with relief, you know, utter relief. That even if I did in the future delude myself again temporarily, that nothing's really actually occurring. I'm just disturbing myself for a while and then I come back to clarity. So if you're ready, you can just rip up the map and the compass and turn off the GPS. You kind of have an inbuilt GPS anyway that's already, you know, functioning perfectly. And let your mind do what it's best at, which is navigating the relative world. You know, reminding you that you're about to lock your keys in the car or something. I can't actually do that with my new car, so I'm really happy. Really, really helpful. I have a car that's more intelligent than I am. So you just see the cycle, you see the loop, you see that experience, what I feel is true. And never more powerfully so when I really want something. I really want something like awakening. I really feel I'm not there yet. I really, really experience it. I feel so far away from it. So it really seems to make sense to try even harder. I redouble my efforts or meditate twice as long. But really, we could have ended this retreat last night, you know. But then you'd all want your money back. But just seeing that, you know, I'm experiencing what I feel is true. And when I see what I feel is true, when I really notice I'm convinced of something, and especially when we're convinced of something about our awakening, whether I'm convinced I'm not there yet or I am there yet, I'll experience that and I'll also experience the opposite, in and out, up and down. Expanded, infinite, you know, everything is beautiful and Om Namah Shivaya, and then 2 minutes later, I'm in hell, I'm, you know, contracted and I feel terrible and I'm never going to get there and I'm giving up on this rubbish and I'm never coming to a retreat ever again, you know. Awful memories there when I was thinking about. So, invitation then is to just not be sure of anything. Take yourself off the map. We kind of do that physically anyway, right? We've come to a different location. We've come to this place to be here. This virtual place, this physical place, this beautiful venue to take ourselves out of our normal life. Now just do that inside your head. Don't be sure of anything. Just don't be certain of anything at all. Your mind will tell you, of course, what you should be sure of over the next few days. That you're the only one in this whole retreat that's not getting what I'm saying. You're the only one that's not getting it, right? Something like that. And when you look up in the, if you sneak a peek during the silent sittings, everyone else is kind of like this. And you're like this. Everyone else is sat perfectly still and you just can't quite get comfortable and you've got this pain up your back and surrender for me was really just coming to accept that I don't know anything. Actually, don't know anything. Every single experience I've ever had was a figment of my imagination, whether that was good or bad or ugly. That's really humbling when you see it, isn't it? That's kind of humbling. Like I've made such a drama out of this awakening thing. It's also immensely liberating. Immensely. I'm free then to experience reality rather than experiencing my thoughts about reality. Or I'm free to experience myself rather than experiencing what I think about myself over and over. So, I'm going to be like a broken record. I'm just going to keep telling you this over and over. Because it's the only thing that seems to make sense, really, once you see. Just to be reminded, just to be reminded, just to put your mind back together properly, just to remember. What is the most essential thing? What is the most honest thing you can say? And that is, I don't know anything. Without my body and mind, there's nothing to know. And even while my body and mind are here, I really don't know anything, actually. Just try that out now. What does that feel like? Let it into your heart. What does it feel like to just not be sure of anything? Everything I think I know, I'm just holding on to because I keep experiencing it. So life can be an ongoing meditation where we see next what we're holding on to and release it. There isn't a single experience that happens without you believing it first. Because we're not conscious of believing, I'm not there yet. We just keep experiencing it. But we can find out what we're believing, what we're agreeing with by what we're experiencing, and then opt out and unsubscribe or just move away inside. Everything that you're certain of will die along with your mind. All of your convictions about yourself and others. When the body goes, so will your ability to be convinced of anything. And is that so terrible? And can you drop it now, actually? Or if you want it really zen, everything that's ever happened since you were born is not true. That used to terrify me. And then became absolutely kind of curious about it. What does that mean then? Everything I think has happened to me since day zero, day one, has not really occurred. What problems do I have left? What spiritual problems, actually? Can I still conclude that I am progressing along the pathway or not progressing? Do I still feel certain that there's something more to find out or do or become or be or whatever it is we're believing? Are you sitting here listening to this then to allow that freedom to emerge even clearer? Or are you sitting here to try to get that freedom? Believing you don't already have it. It's pivotal that we make that choice at some point. Why am I here? Why am I listening to these words? Our mind says, you know, well, you're here to kind of get this, to wake up, to be free. And if you don't do it in these 4 days now, that's it, you know. You have to wait for the next time. But isn't there something here that is also celebrating freedom, emerging, blossoming, expressing like a flower blooming? You can't stop that, can you? Once the rosebud starts to open, it's going to blossom, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And you can't encourage it and rush it either. This is your blossoming, you know, right now and here. And forever. Where I am staying, lucky enough to be staying, sitting out the back this morning, and there are all these birds coming and going, and Tess didn't come to see me this morning, but it's okay, I'm not upset, honestly. There's a little dog that, wonderful spaniel that lives here. And the ability to just enjoy that this morning. A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, just the smell of the rain and the feel of the wetness on my feet as I stood on the decking, you know, and the sound of the bird call just because they were having fun, you know. And I would have missed it completely. I would have been so busy thinking about anything other than that. There's this paradise going on around me, and I would have missed it. And that's why we find it easier in nature sometimes, isn't it? Because the paradise calls a little bit louder than the mind sometimes. So I just sat there feeling so blessed and so lucky to be able to, not only to be here, but wherever here is for each one of us, but to be here, just kind of vacant of assumptions. You don't have to get rid of those assumptions, to experience that. You just have to be willing to not be so convinced of anything for a while. That's why I was saying I don't want you to work hard at this time we're here, or life actually. Just don't do it with life at all if you don't want to. Life could be the unfolding, evolving ability to be present, where there's no perfect moment where I'm finally able to be present all the time, just getting better and better at it every moment. To show up for reality rather than our thoughts. And today you're better at that than you were yesterday, and tomorrow you'll be even better, and the day after that, even better. More free than yesterday. Living freer than yesterday. And I'm emphasizing this because it really speaks, or it spoke to me, of some kind of simplicity, really, about this whole thing, this whole process. And you're here because you want that simplicity too. Our mind is going to suggest things that we're sure of, and we have the chance to examine them and see if they still fit and want to, if we still want to agree. And 99.99999999% of those things we're still agreeing with will be about awakening, won't they? Our own awakening, pretty much. So what if we leave this session, leave this room, leave this meeting, not sure of anything, not comparing ourselves to anyone else, which is what we do all the time, isn't it? And not comparing ourselves to where we think we should be, or could be, or want to be, or might be, or never will be, you know? I'm always amazed when I finish talking and it's right on time. Like, how does that happen? Just can't plan that, can you? Well, I can't anyway. I hope you're starting to really get it, that it's more about fun and lightness and openness and softening, as we were saying. You've done enough hard work. You're more than enough, actually.